Blog Talk Radio.
Miracle, a miracle, God has brought to you.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to play catch-up with Sister Bobbie Lively's book, The Woolly Worm. So great to have her live on the show to where she can answer questions or make additional comments on her book. And we're also playing her music as part of sharing her book. We want to thank everybody for all the positive comments. If you call into the live show, you can ask questions or make a comment to the author for her to respond to. Just push the number 1 on your phone, and you'll be identified by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. We noticed that there was something wrong with the links we uploaded for tonight's show, and it was supposed to be part 8. So instead, we are allowing a Sela moment to talk about what we have already gone over in more detail. And Sister Lively can probably share how going through this book right now has affected her versus when she wrote it. And like most spiritual things, the lessons become more real with experience. But does that apply to this book? Yes, they can tell us. This also allows more time for people who want to make a comment or ask a question about what they've already covered. And now, we will hear from Sister Lively. How are you?
Yes. I am just so happy to hear your voice and the thoughtfulness and the sweetness and the wonder. And I received a beautiful card from my son and my daughter-in-law this week, and it just, I've got it right here in front of me. It's just, it ministers. There's just, I can't even put it into words how much I appreciate the effort that you put in for the program. And if it doesn't help anybody else, going back over all these notes, I thought, wow, you know, I need to line up or whatever. It's just, it's really, really good. And I've been very blessed that different people have sort of reached out and shared their opinions and some of the things that it affected them as they read the book. And I'm going to try to share some of that tonight. And then as we've had on the program each week, Sister Sandra Raspberry, not strawberry, but raspberry, she is just beyond the things that she can do. She works in the church. She's a worker with her family. She's, and then God has allowed me to have part of her time, and I just so appreciate it. Today on her way to prayer meeting, she brought me she brought me a little outline, not all that little. It's an outline, and she looked over the lessons, and, you know, I noticed that. And we all know this. We speak with a different vocabulary. You know, one of my lessons I taught one time was the word up, U-P, up. You can say, I'm going to look up. I'm going to break up. I'm going to go up. Whatever, you know, it's just one word. But when you put it with other words, it can mean a lot of different things. So this is an interesting, and I believe, a God-given moment tonight for us to look at it from that viewpoint. The book, The Woolly Worm. And I, again, want to give great honor to the wonderful people. Recently, there's been Brother and Sister George. They have been just determined that during COVID, whatever, and I was shut in, that I would pursue trying to, what they wanted me to do as far as recording each one, having an audio, and then others picked it up and began to work on it. Actually, Brother Bill Mullinax, we call him Wild Bill, he put the seed in my heart to do it, and I know that seed was faith, and he prayed, and then you have followed through. And there's just my wonderful GNT church. In the book, I give like 2 pages of honor to people that helped me, and I am still very grateful for each one, and remember and recognize the part they played in it. So after that very long introduction, I guess, I would like to just see, do you or Wild Bill have anything that you would want to say?
Well, I personally am very grateful that you are doing this. It's a wonderful gift. And you know that we will have it for you forever. And I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing. Well, Bill, I don't know. He will probably talk to us later in the program.
Okay.
So
that looking forward to that for sure. And you and I appreciate everything. I know that I probably don't fully know, but I am aware of the effort that you've put into it also for us to be able to have it. It's an interesting thing about me and about my life that I bring it out in the book in several different parts of it, that I'm 82 years old, and I have 2 degrees, as I mentioned before, and then I have had license in psychology and therapy for children. But as I studied more and more, I realized that a lot of the things in special ed children I related to big time. And I would read about it, study about it, compare it, and it helped me understand why during World War I, World War II, the flood in Arkansas, so many traumas took place. But I would have the most vivid memories of how God would step up on the scene and make me aware of his presence. There was one time that it was a horrible, horrible situation, beyond anything anybody would even want to hear. And I was small, and I was crawling at that point, but I could walk. But I crawled up to the window. There was a large drape over it, crawled between the drape and the window. And even though I wasn't old enough to understand everything, I was brokenhearted and very troubled. And I looked out the window, and as I looked out, now this is 80 years ago, and it's so real to me, I felt the presence of God without anybody teaching me a lesson, without anything. I felt the presence of the creator of the whole world. And I was part of his creation. And he was aware of the pain and the confusion. And it was just a balancing thing. And you've got to have balance. That's why one of the many reasons we must pray for all of the children that are in abusive situations, maybe they're in another country during war and all of the horrible things that we might not even know the details, but we must pray. We must get in the presence of God, because I believe that somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me that night. They may not have even known my name or know anything about it, but they prayed. And I believe that's one of the most awesome blessings about speaking in an unknown tongue. Now, people argue and they get into so many doctrinal issues about it. It's the Holy Ghost. It is God. It is the indwelling spirit. And it speaks. It has its language. And we don't comprehend all of that. But when we yield to it, and we go ahead and let the Spirit of God use us, miracles will happen. And the song that Wild Bill started with is so interesting. The way that Brother Jordan Hewlett and I would get together to do this was very interesting. He worked jobs. He had a family. He was on one side of Miss Jackson, and then here I was on this side, and we would try to meet. And by the time we finally make the connection, it was either at a church somewhere, we would be making some type of studio, a very impromptu type. When we would get there, the time would be limited. We did not ever practice, ever. I would go in, and we'd close the door. Well, it was the closet type thing, and we would start. Well, he would have already prepared the soundtrack. He would just start it, and then I already had the words. That was the two things. And so he started playing that song right there, and I was going to rap right from the very beginning, miracle. And all of a sudden, after the first little beat, I'm singing. I mean, I'm just totally singing. I'm a miracle. That's one of the reasons I'm bringing it up. But all along my life, from the time back I was sharing with you about when I was just a little child, God has given me the privilege of just one-on-one with Him. He takes over. He's been my comforter, like you said he would be, my leader, my guide, my God. Oh, it is such, I want to speak in tongues now because me and the Holy Ghost is on the same thought. And today I would be thinking about the magnitude of what we could go over tonight, and then I would feel His presence. And it's just so beautiful. And when He gave me the rap, I had no idea. When I went to inner city to do a program with children, I had no idea. And a few weeks later, it's gone all over the world. That's a God thing. I mean, I just really feel His presence. I want to give honor and glory to Him for any and all good, and for protecting and keeping all of us from day to day. And I could share so many stories about God would come on the scene. My husband and I, one time, I will share this. We were in the car, and it was this real thin ice was beginning to form on the road. And we lost control, and we're going off of a mountain. I mean, it was serious. And I just looked up and said, Jesus. And the car stopped, just stopped. And we never did skid another inch, and we turned right around. And it was a supernatural thing. And God is supernatural. We've got the natural, and we've got the supernatural. You're born. We're born in sin. We are shaped by the iniquity around us. But just like Nicodemus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you must be born again. And even that wise, brilliant man, I've got to go back in my mother's womb? Well, you know, Jesus said His love. He said, no, that's not the path. But then He explained it and followed through with it, gave it repeatedly in the scripture. We're born of the water and we're born of the spirit. So how are you going to be born again if you're not born of the water and the spirit? So He summed it up. And Simon Peter preached it in Acts 2:38. He summed it up. Repent. They wanted to know, what must we do to be saved? Repent. Turn. Don't go that way anymore. Turn towards God and be baptized in His name, because there's none other name under heaven given by. You know, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but titles are not names. And there's tremendous significance if you will study the name of Jesus, and you will be filled with the power and the fullness of God's mighty spirit within us, God in us, our hope of glory. And I have just sort of preached a little bit there, so I will back off. And I'm excited. I mean, this is just such a privilege to be able to do this. And and then Him choose that song. Couldn't have been a better song for me on the miracle. And God's miracle is His divine intervention into the natural order of things. And we can have a program. We can do a lot of things. But the miracle takes place when the anointing comes upon it and turns it into something beautiful. Now, I do want to give Sister Sandra Raspberry a lot of time tonight. I've touched on her testimony. I've shared it. We shared it at the jail and different places where we minister. But it's a grand testimony to God and to give Him honor with that. So at this point, I'd like to introduce her again, my friend, confident driver.
Well, hello. How are you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I've never drank as much water in my life as I have this new little thing I'm doing. But anyway, go right ahead. Nobody knows what that is. We'll tell them later. Okay.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd like to, you had honored all the people that's helped you with this book and everything. And I, too, would like to say how grateful I am as a reader of this book, because it has shown me a lot of changes that are needed to be in my life and or that are coming into my life. And I've grown a lot by reading The Woolly Worm. Now, I first got The Woolly Worm back in the summer of 2021, and I read it, but it's like most books, when you read it, you don't really study it sometimes. You just read it and go through with it. And then when you had talked to me about the book again, I really got very interested in it. By then I had retired from work, and, I, you know, as my testimony is, I can tell you of two specific times that the Lord has spoke straight to me and told me what to do when it would come to work. When I was working for the, in a human, I've always worked in human resources, when I was working at the Coca-Cola plant, we were having what they called was a pyramid that, as in the corporate world, even today, it goes on. They start at top and they start shaving down, or they start at the bottom and start shaving up with layoffs and things of that nature. And I had been with them for about 5 years, and they were they finally got to the HR side of it throughout the region. And so they had came to me and told me that my job at the office was going to be eliminated. However, they were giving me an opportunity to be a recruiter for a district. It would be a lot of travel, and it would be a lot of work, but, you know, a lot, some of it could be done from home. So when I wasn't traveling, I could actually work from home. I had traveled a lot with them in those 5 years, and we actually had adopted a small little girl. The first year I was there, she is actually my granddaughter that we adopted. And for her first 5 years, I traveled a lot. So a lot of her care was taken by my husband and my son, and that's a story in a all in itself, and maybe one day we'll get to tell you how we came to get my daughter. But my boss came in from New Orleans and came into my office, and she had two packages. One was the recruiter position, and one was the severance package. And she said, I know you don't want the severance package, and you're going to take the recruiter, but, you know, I have to present both to you, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. Well, I had every intention of taking the recruiter position. And as she sat there and was talking to me, just all of a sudden, God said, no, you're not taking that. Take the severance package. And I'm going to tell you, it kind of freaked me out, because I kind of looked around to see who that was talking, and because I wasn't expecting it. And the next thing I knew coming out of my mouth was, Tony, just give me the severance package. And she looked at me as surprised as I was and said, you're joking, right? And I said, no, give me the severance package. So I left that company, and they gave me a year's of severance, and it was, you know, so I had a whole year that I got to stay at home with my daughter and learn her, and she's just starting school, so that was a blessing. The next time that, well, I won't say the next time. I'll say the next time that God was forceful in his speaking with me was just a few months ago in October. And I was driving home from work, and he just told me, he said, when are you going to stop doing what man tells you to do and do what I want you to do? And it was as if he was sitting there with me in my car, and I just said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I was actually an HR director at one of the local hospitals and really enjoyed my job. I did enjoy the money because it was pretty good. It was a nice little chunk. But I knew the minute I heard him tell me that none of that mattered, none of it. And it kind of reminded me of the story or the history. I hate that word story for the Bible. The history of the Bible where the rich man went to Jesus and said, I want to follow you. And Jesus was telling him, well, you want to follow me? And I don't even have a place to lay my head. And this is a very rich man. He couldn't give it up. But I had no problem giving that up. And believe me, I was the breadwinner of our family. My husband is a little disabled, and so it was going to open up a whole new door. But I never, even to this day, have I worried about that. It's been 9 months now. The Lord has blessed me in more ways than I could ever imagine. First of all, he gave me Sister Lively. Now, reading the book, I want to just get back to the book here. This is a fantastic book, and if you have not read it or if you've not completely read it and really dug into it, I would tell you to do that, because a metamorphosis on the chapter one with Why the Woolly Worm, the transition from the egg all the way up to the butterfly, it reminds me of all of the changes that we're going to go through once we accepted the Lord as our Savior. The woolly worm, he started out as an egg. Think about this. Our physical body started out as an egg. The woolly worm is in a cocoon while transforming. Physically, we're in our mother's womb, her cocoon, awaiting birth. The woolly worm becomes a butterfly, and a baby is born into this sinful world. As the baby grows physically, they have opportunity for a new birth. And when I'm talking about a new birth, I'm talking about the spiritual birth. John 1:13 says, those which were born not out of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And when reading chapter 1, I realized, and I knew I had my spiritual birth, but for some reason, it made it even get more deeper and more ambience in my life than I've ever thought of before. It's like every time I read the Bible, and if I'm reading the same story a thousand times, I always find a thousand things different that God has pointed out. I've always called these little treasures, hidden treasures of the Bible. And when reading the woolly worm, I realized that as a Christian, as a sinner into a Christian, we are constantly in our metamorphosis. We are constantly changing. So, Sister Lively, for that, I really appreciate that you did write this book. And I'll come back to you now.
Well, I'm listening to everything you say, and it puts it in a pattern. Number one thought that I had is when we say that God spoke to us and we hear the voice of the Lord, that can be done in many different ways. It can be an audible voice, which I've never heard an audible voice, but he can speak to us through people, through just so many different things, and through illustration. I know one time publishing the book and different things about the rap that I did later, I didn't know that there were a lot of suggestions on how I should handle it, but I felt a check in my spirit to wait on God and to listen to him. And there was one time I was going down the highway, and I felt really led to cross the highway and go into this big church situation. They were doing some kind, I think they'd been flooded, and I thought, I don't know what I thought, but I didn't want to do it. And so anyway, I got on down where I really had to turn at the very next place to be able to do this, and there was a whiteout rain. It just came down. It just completely, I mean, I had to either turn or stop. So, you know, I got the message. I'm a little slow, but anyway, I turned, And that was the Lord speaking to me to confirm what I was already feeling. And I love the way he does that with each individual. He does that with me in a way that I can understand. He speaks to me in the most beautiful ways. And this book today, I was saying, well, Lord, why did I really? And I was, you know, wanting to get the definite. It was almost like the Lord wasn't audible. He said, because I led you to. In other words, I would have never thought of it. And I somehow got a little bit of loving feeling from that, because remembering that began to open up my memory as to how wanting to write a book, but not really wanting to write a book as much as the time and season of my life. And we have times and we have seasons, just like the little woolly worm, just like was just said, we're going to be changing. We're going to have to have discernment. And I want to read something, a wonderful lady that I met, Sister Sandra and I and Brother Mark were invited to do a wrap and some things at a big meeting. And I met this beautiful, wonderful lady and some of her family. But she sent this to me today about the book. I had asked her if she had any opinion she would want to share, and this was what she texted back to me. She said, I really enjoy the fact that the gift of discernment is highlighted here. Now, she's approaching the 8th chapter, which we would have done and will do possibly next week. But she says, there is a wealth of experience brought to bear in balancing concepts from mental health. There must be a balance, such as dealing with inner healing or using mindfulness techniques. This is important. Say this is important. I'm agreeing with her. As a mental health professional, and that's what she is, and a person with the Holy Ghost, I appreciate this being addressed, speaking about the book. We are called to stand for truth, but we operate in the world. When we reach out to others and we want to help them, we have to use the world's tools, but under spiritual guidance. A surgeon doesn't use a scalpel or sutures, or he would, and that would be okay. He wouldn't want to just go in there with rusty or whatever. He understands germs. They would be stainless ones. So it's a balance, and I love the part that we brought out at Brother Garcia's, and where I met this wonderful lady, was you've got to have balance, you've got to have a plan, and you've got to have focus. When God originated the world, when he originated the woolly worm, and when he originated all of us, it was a balance from the end to the beginning. God was never surprised by anything. We are, but he was not. I want to go ahead and read this. But okay, we need to use methods and discern what is harmful and what is not. Just like with the little woolly worm. And I used that, how he was injured at the very beginning, and that sparked my interest to go on with it and how it was connected to one of my dearest friends and the situation she was going through, and how the injured little woolly worm was able for God to use that as an example. She had not intended to hurt the little animal or little worm, and God certainly hadn't probably put her in a place these people would have done willfully. But we all see things. We must comprehend that, just like the fingerprint, no two people have ever had the same fingerprint. We are uniquely created by the hand of God. And I know that Sister Sandra has some more on that in just a moment. Okay, Susan was the lady that wrote this to me, Sister Susan, and she also wrote, this sermon is certainly needed as one is coming to the apostles' doctrine from some other doctrine. We find this out. I'm adding this to it. We have a class of several classes. But we have a class that's a recovery class. We called it the ACTS class for several years. It's a class where people come in and they don't know why. If we say something about certain clothes or certain habits,
that that's all they've ever known, then they feel like that we're criticizing them or attacking them. And the enemy plays on that and makes them feel like adds to the hurt they've already had and gives it from us more hurt. That's not true. And God did not handle it that way. He became a human being with all the limitations that we have. And to go to the cross and to the all of that mutilation and everything, and then he turns to us repeatedly in Scripture. And love is the key. It is the answer. Love. And love doesn't work any ill towards anybody. And love forgives. And that we'll get into that probably a little bit more later today. But she went on to say, one should never shun anything about the Word of God. Tell it, but tell it in love. Display it with love. She wants to talk about Acts 2:38 again. This was the message. And it's not a message that takes away from grace. It is a message that confirms grace. Because that's the message that gives us faith to claim it. And it's the grace of God that gave us the whole thing and to begin with. So it really is a beautiful tapestry. And it should not, we should not have to ever argue with people. Just tell it, sow the seed, and let God bring the increase. Now, I want to turn back to Sister Sandra, unless Wild Bill is somewhere on the line, and we'll hear what she has to say.
Well, you know, when you were just talking about how I was telling you how the Lord talked to me, and then how he does talk to people in other ways, it brought back to my mind yesterday while we were eating lunch. Sister Lively and I, when we're going out, Sister Lively always shares her card and her wraps with anybody that will accept one of her cards. And she was sitting there, and she was you were kind of down about it because you were sitting there saying, I really wish that I could get some feedback from some of these people that get these cards, just so I know that, you know, they're listening. It wasn't, 5 minutes later, this young man that we had given the card to came up and told you he had pulled it up and that he was enjoying it. It was like God's confirmation to you right then. It was amazing. That was God telling you right then what you are doing is very important. And that young man, he was... He was just as cute as he could be. I mean, he looked for us all through that restaurant. He said he would have been out looking for us so that he could come back and tell her how much that meant to him. And we get those cards out. We probably give out 10, 15 every time we go somewhere. And for her to say that out of her mouth and then not 5 minutes later for the Lord to send this young man over there to let us know that he's proud that we're doing what we do, that it is working. And what's the funny part about it is that when she was talking to him, he told her he didn't like rap at all. He did not like it at all. Never would listen to it or anything. And then he comes over there and he is all excited about the rap. So God, a different way. Sometimes he'll talk to us. In my case, where I heard his voice, I knew it was his. I had no doubt. Yesterday, he talked to us through a young man. So God has his way to speak to us. We just have to be open to whatever way he's going to do it. It could be like in the little card that Sister Lively got from Wild Bill and from Starla yesterday. That was a beautiful card. I saw the card. It was absolutely beautiful, and it made her feel so good, you know. And they were talking a little bit about the show and stuff and how they were excited that they were able to help her get her book out there. As we go through, as we become Christians, one of the things that we do go through, just like the woolly worm, is the changes. And as I'm going through all these changes myself, I realize that without prayer, without study and guidance, I struggle with this spiritual birth, because it's not always easy to stay in the Word and to do as Sister Lively said a few moments ago, you know, be nice and do everything in love, especially when you have someone that's coming against you. It's really hard to then, but it is really when you're first becoming a Christian, as a newborn babe in the Christian world, you have confusion. Well, what church should I go to? You know, and I know I gave my heart to the Lord and I asked him to come in. I know he came in, but what do I do now? And why is everybody treating me like a plague? All the people I've known, you know, around me all of a sudden are steering away from me because I want to talk about Jesus, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. So we always have all those confusing thoughts when we first become a Christian. And then after we get finished with the confusion, then it's the curiosity. And I'm very curious about everything. I've said this several times on the radio. I love statistics, and I love to hear about how things work and how things mature and doing things of this. And under the spiritual realm, I'm sitting here, okay, what is repentance? What does that mean? What did I have to do to repent from? Well, from everything that I've done wrong. You know, when I've used those words that shouldn't be used, when I disobeyed my parents, when thing I have done in my past that would not have been pleasing to the Lord. Thank goodness for repentance, because with that repentance and with the love of Jesus in my heart now, all that has been forgiven by his blood. And when you realize that, that's when your conviction starts coming in. You know, it's like when you was talking about the recovery class. And matter of fact, the class I was in tonight, we were talking about the dress wear and the modesty of the women. And it is, when you're talking to people about the convictions, one of the things I've noticed that as I grow in the Lord, my convictions on myself become bigger and bigger. And I mean, I look at the mirror now before I go out the house and say, okay, how do I look? Is my hair good? Is my dress good? And, you know, what's that saying that you say, Sister Lively, when you say, if it shows, don't go, it goes, or something like that?
Bend over.
If it
shows.
Yeah.
I got two or three of those. I like
it. She'll tell me that all the time. And the good thing about Sister Lively, and I, we do have a really great relationship, I do believe so, because she's just wonderful, and she's a good mentor, and this book that she's written is great. Along with the convention, along with this becomes shame and fear. Shame for what I did do before. And fear that, am I going to be able to do this? But the fear is not that I'm afraid of being a Christian or anything like that. The fear is more of, what if I don't do everything that he wants me to do? Because we was talking to some young ladies about a week ago, I think it was, Sister Lively, and we was talking about the jail ministry, and we was talking about all those things that you've done that God is trying to bless you with when you get to heaven and you stand before him, and he says, well, you know, I put this person in your life so that you could minister to them, but you didn't do it. So that was the blessing that you missed. I don't want to miss any of those blessings. Sister Lively doesn't want to miss any of those blessings. And then the conversion of when you finally realize, when you accepted the Lord as your Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the conversion really starts. It's small steps, but you know that you're changing. If you've repented, you got baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's when your prayer and your supplication comes in, because if you're praying and you're being just honest with the Lord as much as you can, because you don't want to, you can't tell, you can't sugarcoat it with God. That's basically it. You cannot sugarcoat it with God. God knows everything. But he wants you to tell him that you know that that was wrong. And that's why in my little weedy mind, when I repent, and I'm going to tell you something, once you become a Christian, you don't stop repenting. You repent every day. Lord, before my feet hit this floor, anything that I may have said or did or might do today, please forgive me for it and let me be a light shining for you. And then before I go to bed at night, Lord, whatever I did today, if I did anything that was would upset, that was not in your will, please, Lord, let me know so that I can make sure not to do it again. And if so, I'm very sorry. I repent again. I repent every morning. I repent every night. And sometimes I have to repent during the day, especially when somebody cuts out in front of me in a car. You know, Nicodemus, he was a ruler and a scholar. He's a very smart man. But even he was confused. Even he was curious. And he was convicted about Jesus. And he knew that if he followed Jesus, that he could lose everything, or so he thought. I'll put it that way. So what does he do? He goes to Jesus in the nighttime. He won't even go during the day. He wants to go in the cover of darkness. And I kind of laugh at myself sometimes because I always called him Nick at Night. He was always, he just couldn't go. And even after Jesus is telling him and talking to him and answering him and saying, you know, I can't understand why Nicodemus, as smart as he was, could not let some stuff go. He was called by Jesus the teacher of Israel. Yet he couldn't figure out about being born again. How do you be born again? Can I go back into the womb of my mother and be born again? He was taking it literally and not spiritually, and I think that's what we do sometimes. We think we take things literally and not spiritually. And I believe that that's one of the reasons that Jesus used a lot of parables, because by telling the story, it makes it more spiritual instead of literally. But the good thing was, just like with us, Nicodemus, he was being real with Jesus. And that's what we have to be. We have to be real with Jesus. He already knows what we've done. So why sugarcoat it? Why try to push it aside? Well, it wasn't that bad. You know, it's all right. Jesus said to Nicodemus when he asked, do you go back out of the womb? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I'm not really sure at that point that when he said that to Nicodemus, he still understood what Jesus was saying. He acknowledged it, that the miracles that Jesus was doing, it could only be done by God, by the touch of God. He refers to Jesus as the rabbi. He knew, but he didn't accept the gift it offered. He just couldn't wrap his head around it. He couldn't wrap his heart around it.
And there, because you're really touching on something that people, because they get confused or because they don't really maybe have confidence in where they're hearing the true message, then they stop. And I know when I got baptized in Jesus' name, I had been baptized. In fact, I got baptized. Somebody laughed about I was waterlogged or something because I don't know. I never felt right about it. And so anyway, when they witnessed to me about the name of Jesus, I had absolute, ultimate trust and admiration for this group of people. And several things come up about where we were going to go and what, because we lived at the farm. And we didn't have access right away to a baptistry. So they arranged it. We went to this place. And all of a sudden, I had this feeling that I'm making a mistake. I've done been baptized, five times, this is, Lord, I'm making a mistake. So what I did was what everybody must do. I turned to God. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing right now, but I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They've already shown me, and I know the scripture says that very plainly. So I'm going to go, but help me not to hurt anyone's feelings. And I had no idea, no comprehension. I could not have ever known what was going to happen when this lady went down, a young woman, in the name of Almighty God, in Jesus' name. There had been a load of some type of, well, it's my sin, that I had carried, even though I'd repented and was turned to God. And it was gone. I don't mean a little bit. It was gone. I was so absolutely elated. And immediately, when I started to study my Bible again, it was like, it would just jump out at me, and it was just wonderful. And the revelation I was getting in the new depth in the presence of God, and it worked. And I shared that with people that were hesitating. When I would minister to them or God would lead me into their life, I would share that to them, and they would, not become so self-conscious, become more God-conscious, obey God, and I've never, ever had an experience where they didn't say it worked. I mean, it just works. And it's a combination that I mentioned before about my program, the Lord gave me Walking Through the Land of Promise, and that was several years, local in the United States and then worldwide. And the walking part has continued to minister to me anytime I even think about it. And I studied the actual dynamics of walking, and you've got your weight on your back foot, and then you're moving forward. There's a little bit of a time where you're going, you're moving, but you're not anchored until the other foot touches, and then, you know, there you are. But would you understand, when you're going into the Word of God and you're going into life with God, you're walking with Him. And there are so many scriptures about walking with the Lord. That's not just poetry. That we walk with God. We leave where we are each day. We leave every moment, actually. And we go forward in faith. And then we're still with our God, but we're ahead. We've moved forward. And going forward is the answer. It is the title of every book. Go forward. Going forward. And Brother Mark Bullman, the young man that I've shared with y'all many times, and he's on the last album, number 6. And that is one of the greatest testimonies. I would love for everybody to hear it and to have seen where he came from after he came to that recovery class, after he made that commitment. Just his picture, if you could see it before and then see it now. The hard work, and any time that anything comes up, Brother Mark Bullman says, I'm going forward. I'm going forward. And he means it from the depths of his heart. Tremendous testimony. And so walking with the Lord, going forward with the Lord, gaining new convictions, understanding we do it not by ourselves, but by the faith that God gives us through his word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The word of God is essential, and it is powerful. And it's a love letter from our God to us. It's the armor. It's everything. Can't get too much of it. It gets deeper and richer and more beautiful every time you read it. Like, literally, it is so supernatural. It will apply. If you've got a head wound, it applies something to your mind. Maybe it's your heart, you've had a heart broken, it'll apply something to your heart. It'll give you exactly what you need. Every time, and he desires that. That's God's plan, just like with the little woolly worm. I think that is such a good example. If you look at him coming from where he came from in the very beginning and going forward, the instars fascinate me. That's the part of the caterpillar that can be, usually they say 4. I've read where it can be 6. He gets his outer skin so tight as he grows. Now, see, he's growing, and he's uncomfortable. you try to do it, it's like our classes that we have. You can't jump up to somebody and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. Now, wait a minute. You live it so that they know when they get tired of that, as they study the Word of God, you're the light, the salt, and you're the power that God can use to help them have a walking illustration, a talking illustration of love, of peace, of joy, of long-suffering. I know, Carr, I would like to not be long-suffering right now, but Lord bless that person. They may be rushing to the hospital. Who knows? And you'll feel differently, I promise, when you start thinking like that. But anyway, I want to go back just a second. It's walk by faith in your risen Savior. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. When I would hit my daughter got me into the writing the book. I would not have done it without her leading. And then when I got absolutely up against the wall, it was my son that came right on the scene with fresh inspiration. Each one of us has an effect immediately on our surroundings. And then the Roy Worm, he developed, but it was all, he had to do it himself. That's so important, I think, for us to grasp. I can't line you up. I can't tell you. I can't jump on you. I can pray for you. I can live an example before you. And that's what Jesus was looking for when they said they didn't. Oh, they were so great. And they missed. They wanted to go with him, you know, with the five wives and all that. And he said, I never knew you. Why did he never know them? They knew about him because they never entered the cocoon. They never was willing. They did all the process, but everything changes when we're born again, everything. And that's 10 more books on just that one point. So if you want to know about the Bible, talk to the author. It's not just Moses writing the first five books. It's God using Moses by the inspiration of his spirit. And, oh, what they did to write the words of God. It's just beautiful. So I interrupted you, and I think it was beautiful, everything I said. So I'll turn back to you now, and or Wild Bill or somebody.
Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. And that's one of that's a proverb that we all need to live by, that we should not try to cover up, because it's going to be found. In the God's time, it's going to be found.
Amen.
I've noticed that, like in your chapter 3, contentment, I've noticed that as I have grown more into his word and studied his word more, now, Sister Lavi, you know I'm not one who can just quote out verses. My memory is just not that good. I cannot memorize. I don't know what the reason is, but for some reason I cannot memorize very well. But with the contentment, my husband is he's such a funny man. As our children were growing up, and even to this day, if they call us and they're not happy and they're not having a good day or something, he'll just tell, just be happy. Just be happy. Smile. You got a roof over your head. You got food on the table. You got clothes on your back. Be happy. And that's contentment to him. And it's hard to be happy all the time. And I think people get happiness and contentment confused, but they're not the same at all. Happiness is an experience with positive thinking, of joy, of pride, and of course, laughter. But contentment, it's a long-lasting feeling, long-lasting. It's accompanied by peacefulness, gratitude, and satisfaction. As I was telling you earlier when I was doing my testimony, I have never been more satisfied with my life since I have retired and doing what God wants me to do than ever in my life. And, you know, there are times in our lives where we're in a prison, and we don't even realize we're in that prison. But Paul was in a prison, too, at one time. And what he wrote while he was in the prison was, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to made known unto God. That's on Philippians 4:6. I was watching a documentary on Paul the other day, and one of the tours, the guy that was doing the tour, went into the cave where Paul was in prison, and he wanted to get the full effect of what Paul, they had been experiencing while he was in there. So he had them to close the stone over that. And when they closed the stone, it was pitch dark in there. So Paul was not only in prison, but there was no light except for when they brought him his food. And even through all of that, he was anxious for nothing. As far as he was concerned, he had food, he had clothing, and he had shelter. There was nothing else he needed besides the Lord. That was it. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's what Paul did the whole time he was imprisoned. He thought about the good times. He thought about the times. I'm sure he thought about the times when he was out there and winning souls to the Lord and doing the miracles that he was even able to do after Acts 2:38, after Acts when Day of Pentecost came. He wasn't thinking about anything else at that point except for, I'm running the race for the Lord. That was it. He was content with that. And that, you know, and that's why I am right now. I'm just content with it. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'm open for it. Just let me do it.
And you have the also worship. You have a very worshipful thought pattern, and you relate that. You see good, and you relate. You really mean it. You're not just whitewashing things. You really have that, and that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, stressed over and over. And David, the giant killer. I mean, worship is the wisest thing we will ever do. We begin to worship our God, because you know it's trust. It's really trust and appreciative. And it's just, I want you to, before we get too far along, though, I want you to talk about the little time that we were delivering food to families, and we came to a place. Would you share that?
Oh, my goodness, yes, I'll certainly share that. Sister Lively and I were out. Our church gets some food to be given to people that are in need every now and then. And so we were out one, I think it was on a Friday night, we were out delivering food to different families. And we would just stop at some families' houses that we saw that might have a need, and we would talk to them. And, of course, always give them the card, the J&T card, so they can come and visit our church and everything. But this one time, Sister Lively and I were out delivering food, and as we were going down the road, we get to a fork in the road, and Sister Lively tells me go right, and I look at her and I say, you mean left? And then she looked at me and said, no, you need to go right. I followed her instructions, and once we were going again, I said, you know we went left, right? And she just looked at me really funny, and she said, no, we went right. So as we drove to the next house, we both kept telling each other that they were wrong. I say, Sister Lively, you know that was left. No, it was right. No, it was. And we were and just not really arguing about it, but we were just having a good time with it. And so as we left the last family we were going to, Sister Lively told me to go out a different way. And after a couple of turns, I realized what she was doing. She was determined to show me that I was wrong and that she was right. So when we get to the same fork in the road, she points to the street ahead of us and points out that we turned right and not left. As I sat there laughing at this, and she was kind of looking at me like she was determined to let me not know my left and right. And then I realized she was right. We went right. We didn't go left at the fork. So I had to give her that one. I had to let her have that fight and let her win that fight. Had I not adhered to Sister Lively's directions, I don't know if we'd ever made it to that house. We would have gone
did
the wrong
know,
way.
Did you know that you just said that the opposite of what it was? You said it. You just did.
Did
but
I say
anyway,
it wrong again?
I think, but the point is, the way we could do it so that it had, it was fun. It was. We don't have to get angry at people and abusive. And call, you know, and we it was. You know, of course, it was a lot easier for me because I was right. But anyway, what's interesting, when I read this, I thought, she's still saying it the opposite way. But anyway, it's good because you're very brilliant. But I told you then, I said, I might not be using you to take me places anymore. But I was just playing.
Yeah, and
I
told you yesterday I was going to take your backseat driver's license away from you.
No. Matthew 7:14 says, let me read this, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and Sister Sandra cannot find it. I'm sorry. Which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But that was really an interesting situation. What is interesting, too, that we can correct each other. We have the relationship that it does not offend us. And you have many things that you correct me about. And
I think that's a double. I think that goes both ways.
I went to Walmart, and this little boy, he was adorable. He was in the buggy, and his mother is doing shopping, and he said, "Grandma, oh Granny, or whatever you call me," and. I'm Granny Rapper. Anyway, she looked at me, and she doesn't know how. The adult never knows how to handle it, you know. Anyway, and so she tried to tell him that I was not Granny. And he tried to tell her, yeah, I was. I didn't know who did. So finally, I was, by being there, I was sort of causing a little problem. So I walked on around, and I mean, he bust out crying. He was determined to let her know that I was Granny. And one year, this little girl looked up at me and said, "Oh, dear Miss Santa Claus." And I thought that was cute because it looked like, you know, I guess I looked like a female Santa to her. Just so many things. I don't know why I find things like that amusing. I told you about the gentleman that went and got me some candy. Because he wanted my phone number. Everybody that's listening, I will let you know that turned into a very beautiful, encouraging type thing. The Lord wanted me to, instead of me getting in a huff about it, his wife had died, and he was grieving. I mean, really grieving. And so what God wanted me to do, it wasn't anything bad about it or defensive about it. It was a time I could share the Word of God and pray. So I don't know. I think it's getting... No, we got plenty of time. Does Wild Bill ever come on?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't yet.
I'd like to mention Sister Starla is one of the most outstanding, I guess I would say testimony, but that seems like it is a testimony. But the changes that have transpired in her life and the consecration that she has to the Lord, it's just amazing. It is a tremendous testimony. She can also sing, but we couldn't get her to follow through with that. I worked a little bit in the church, and she would sing, and then
I mean, the Lorburn movie was beautiful, but that was the end of that. Just had to do 900 other things at that church anyway. But, Sister Charlotte, did you have a comment?
I'm enjoying the show and keep on keeping on.
All right. I'm going to read what Sister Sandra said about me, helping her know how to turn right and left. She said, a truly good friend will also correct you. You can trust a friend who corrects you. But kisses from an enemy are nothing but lies. If you have had enough to eat, honey doesn't taste good. But if you're really hungry, you will eat anything. That's in Proverbs. That's, I think, in NIV, Proverbs 27:5-7. But there's such a balance in that right there. And this is what the woolly worm, all of it, has spoken to me as I studied it, as I obeyed the Lord, as God would give me mentors and helpers, and now Sister Sandra. You know, you don't want to be dishonest. And my daughter has brought that to my attention a lot of times. I know when we were first getting in church, I had several people that called me every day, and they were very time-consuming. And so I would tell them whatever to get off the phone. And Rhonda heard it, and she'd tell me later. You know, that I don't remember how she worded it, but she let me know that wasn't good. And then a couple of times I tried to get her to, you know, like, tell them I'm not here or something. And she'd look at me like, I'm not about to. You know, she was just so cute that way. And one time we went out to get in the car, and I had taught a lesson. We had a really good time. While Bill and Rhonda really helped me, I used flannel graph. I was learning, you know, a lot of those things. But there was two men up on a telephone pole repairing some a light or something, and Rhonda screamed out that it was Jesus and God. And scared me to death because I wasn't in a very good mood that day. But anyway, I found out it wasn't two anyway. So, and we had a lot of fun with that. The children are wonderful. And the every part of the Metamorphosis teaches deep, rich, wonderful truth. And repeatedly does that. But most of all, we want to be what God's designed us to be. And he's designed us to be overcomers, filled with his spirit, walking in love. He designed it. And yes, it's by grace. I sure hate to try to do it without grace and faith, and that comes by grace. So we're really never arguing about it. We're agreeing on it, the different sides of the coin and the concept of it. Like with light, you can see light in a dark room. One little bitty light is very, very important. So we can perceive light of the darkness around us and be that light. Maybe we won't be the greatest singer, preacher, rapper, whatever, but we can be what God calls us to be and do it with him. It's just the greatest privilege it could be. Okay, now, it's how much time? You want us to wrap it up now? Oh, wrap it up. That's a good one. Woolly worm. Wrap it up.
Maybe you could come up with a wrap of that.
I tell you, today I did do a couple of when I was studying. And I thought I should have written them down because they just come up. It's amazing how I can be just talking about something and then I'm rapping. But anyway, we do have a responsibility. Every day we live, God's going to use us. Well, like what you shared, Sister Sandra, that was amazing. I mean, I just said those very words. It would someone, you know, respond and let me know and whatever. And here this man walks up with a smile and it's really good. What is that noise?
It's me.
All right. Woo-hoo. Well, quit dinging and go ahead and talk.
I don't think you want to get me involved in a conversation about directions. My dad was a professor professional cab driver, and then he was a truck driver. And I just had this built-in sense of direction. If I went someplace one time, I can't tell you how many times, I'm like, Dad, you missed your turn. he tried to be really sweet and cool about it, but he's like, shut up. I didn't miss my turn. I know where I'm going. And but he had missed his turn. And so it's never fun, Sister Sandy, to be the one that's on that other part of it. And I've also been on that part of it, too. So, and I do know that Blog Talk Mom does not play fair, that she has to win. So.
Yeah, she got me good that day. She got me good. But we always have fun with it, and that's the main thing. And, you know, Wild Bill, one of the things that I hope that everyone has is a friend and a mentor like your mom, because, you know, it's like when she read Proverbs where a truly good friend will openly correct you. She does that with love and, you know, and for guidance to me. And she's just a true blessing for me. She really is. And you've been very blessed. And I'm going to tell you, too, I love those stories when you get on here and you start telling something that she did when she was younger that you remember. I told her one day, I said, when he tells those stories about you, that puts a more, most people are looking at you like you're a writer and you're a rapper, but that puts the human side even more on you to let us know that you've been there and you have done that. So I do enjoy when you tell stories on your mom.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much she enjoys those stories, but, you know, it is one of those things that it brings a reality to it to understand that I tell those things not to put her down, but to give other people hope. You know, you may not be doing these things yet, but, you know, when you look at where she was when she first got into church and her desire, that was one of the biggest things, that you got to have a desire and you got to have a hunger, and then you got to seek after it and you got to knock and you got to ask God to help you do it. It's not just, for her, it wasn't just being on the platform. It was always to try to fill a need or a void of something that was there. And if it meant wearing 20 hats, she wore 20 hats. And if it was just two or three hats, she would wear the two or three hats. And I have seen how that sometimes where people like her are taken advantage of and they're overly used, and so they can't do anything. Well, maybe I should watch how a word is. When you got 20 things to do and you only got enough time in a day to do three things well, then something falls through the cracks. And I have seen how, because other people would allow her to pick up the spaces that were there, then instead of them jumping in and trying to see their part of it, to where it was a detriment to her being able to do things well. And so that reality part goes both ways. I tell her sometimes I think at this stage of her life that she could do more service by teaching, which brings up a question I got for you, Blog Talk Mom. Have you ever thought of doing a workbook to go with this book?
I started one, and, you know, for each chapter, and I was going to use it with PowerPoint, you know, and really use it that way, but it seemed like God evolved it into what we're doing right now. It seemed like the audio and the interaction, there's a lot of doors have opened up, and it was very interesting that the minister that preached Sunday was just really on fire. He was so anointed. He's got his family there. They do outreach. They're just wonderful, and do all kinds of music, everything. And so when he completed his sermon, and I mean, people are up, they're worshiping, everything's going on at the altar. And I'm sitting three rows, I think, from the back, and I've been, you know, battling a little few physical problems, and he comes all the way back, and he reaches out to tell and to my hand, like I had my hand up, and he was telling me that he got that message out of a book that I had given him. And he was going to go on and say it, but then the Spirit of God came on him, and he began to prophesy over me. And he said things like new and plan, and I was feeling the Lord so strongly. I just got the wonderful blessing that I didn't really catch the wording of it. So I waited, and I talked to him later, called his wife, and he called me back or I don't remember anyway, we got together on it. And he said that he explained it to me, how the anointing came on him to, like, prophesy to me. And so I've been praying about the words new. You know, that was definitely one of them, and plan. And so if you just put them together, if God's got a new plan, I want to be ready, and I want to be prepared. And there are several churches at this point have asked me to come. To rap and to teach, you know, have a whatever that would open up to do. And I'm waiting on God, you know, for my health and for different things. But I'm willing. I want to, I don't want to try, like, I wouldn't have rapped. You can believe that. That would not have ever been on my itinerary. But look what God did with it. And now look what he's doing with the woolly worm. So let's just let God be God and, just pray for me. We still got a whole lot of chapters to go through if you want to complete this book. And there's plenty of other doors that open for door-to-door, handing out the cards that explain the it's so beautiful how Sister Sandra and others, they've made it. I'm going to shut up right here and let her explain what you made. I can't even say it. Just Sister Sandra, what did y'all do on the back of the card?
Oh, the QR. We put the QR on her card so that anybody can automatically pull up her book, and they can also pull up her YouTube channel so that they can listen to her rap and her other songs that she has, videos that she has out there. So now they don't. All you got to do is have a phone and a camera with your phone, and you can go straight to it.
That's amazing to me.
And, yeah, and that reminds me, too, that yesterday the young man that came up and told us how it came up, we were actually had just been talking about, it seemed like sometimes the book won't come up. And while we was talking to him, we asked him to please try to pull it up and make sure that it would come up. Because for some reason, every now and then, that QR just, well, I don't know if it's, I've been told it's the website that the QR came from, but. He came back to, when he came to our table, he said, oh, by the way, it all of it came up. So that was a God thing. I mean, that, you know, he was just wonderful. He was just absolutely.
Yeah, it was a God thing for sure. And I would love to see the blog program carried over to YouTube, you know, some way that they could just go to YouTube and be part of that outline that I have too. So we'll pray about that for sure.
I keep telling Sister Lively, you know, Moses was 80 years old when he brought the children out of Egypt. She's 82. She's still got a lot of things we're bringing out. Because when we go out and we hand out her information and everything, it amazes me how someone sitting there looking so sad and so forlorn, once we give them that, it's like a light just shines on them, and they're just happy that someone noticed them. And well, Bill, you know your mama's not shy. She gets out there and she doesn't care who they are. She's going to walk up and talk to them, especially if they act like they don't want to notice her. If they act like they don't want to notice her, she's going to make sure they noticed her.
And
I would like
to. A better example than that, I always compare to Sarah. Sarah was almost 100 when she had her children. So,
yeah.
You know, they birthed a nation, so she can birth churches.
She got it.
Oh, that,
and she does
hallelujah.
A great job at it.
But I like what y'all are saying, but when I go up to somebody, anybody, I feel led. Believe me. It's not, I just feel led. It's like God says, to that one, go to that one. And sometimes the Lord will show me something that they're going through, and it works. It really works. And that is
my happiest ministry that God has given me is the contact with lonely, hurting people to say, to sow that seed while they're broken. And that really, truly is a spiritual thing with me. It's not about me, because technically, being the Asperger that I learned that I was, no, I'm delivered from all things, but anyway, I'm not the caterpillar anymore, so I wouldn't have those same things. But he's changed that over and made it a blessing to me, a deliverance that I can share. If you walk through something and then you meet somebody that's walking through it, you see them totally different. You just do. And so I do. And then I know how God delivered me, and I want to share it with them. And they know it. Belabor it. They know it. And I didn't mean to. I just wanted to add that to that right there. So I do love y'all's compliments. If you've got any more, I'll shut up. Oh, well.
Did we lose Wild Bill? We may have.
Wild Bill?
I think Wild Bill was done. Were you?
Oh, okay.
Were you done, Wild Bill? Yeah, I think he was done.
Well, the ultimate likeness. Go ahead. I'll just be quiet.
Oh, I was just going to say, I've really enjoyed tonight's conversation. And I just want to tell Sister Starla how much I appreciate her man in the port for Wild Bill and everyone to be able to hear. Because I know that prior to getting started tonight, you were having a little bit of a problem, but the Lord showed up and showed out. You got us right on time and everything. So I just wanted to tell you how much I really appreciate you, Sister Starla.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I want to do this one scripture in Psalm 17:15. We're talking about changing, and we're talking about using the little metamorphosis and everything. But it says here, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's our commitment to God. We'll be satisfied, but not until we awake in the likeness of our God. I see that a great blessing. So I love you, and I'm going to hush.
Well, I enjoyed the show. I thank you all so much for working so hard on it. I know you do. And I appreciate everything you share. It's an awesome book, and I am so enjoying you being able to read it to us live on the air. I mean, you know. And tonight's show was really, I appreciate everything you've shared. And you, Sister Sandra, and sharing your testimony.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody for listening and being with us each week. And I pray that you're blessed as I am hearing this and sharing it with us each week. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.
Good night.